So imagine standing at the foot of the mountain and hearing the thunder of God's voice. Imagine being part of a nation set apart for God, given commands to worship Him alone, to honor His name, and to dedicate your life to Him. So this is the story of Israel's journey, a story of worship, obedience, and the struggles to remain faithful. From Mount Sinai to the Promised Land, God was shaping a people who would reflect His holiness. He gave them laws. I just broke this. He gave them laws not to burden them, but really to bless them. He set apart days for rest, for seasons of remembrance, and sacrifices of atonement, all to draw them closer to Him. But He also warned them, do not forget, and do not turn to idols, and do not take My name in vain. If you're visiting with us, we as a body here in Annandale have endeavored to read God's Word this year. And we're doing it through the use as a tool to do that. We're using the Daily Bible, which is a New International Version that breaks out the entire Bible and puts it in chronological order, roughly, and separates it into daily chunks so that we can read it every day and make our way through God's Word in that way. And so on Sunday mornings, we come together and we have a lesson and discuss the things that we've learned and the insights we've gained from God's Word through the Holy Spirit based off the readings we did last week. So I apologize, you are just going to have to jump in and roll with it. But if you're familiar with God's Word and the scriptures and in the scriptures that we're going to be covering today, which include Deuteronomy, Exodus, Leviticus, and some of Numbers, you'll fit right in. And these are the things that we're going to cover today. And I broke it. There's a lot of text over the last week, but it's broken out into chunks. The first being God's call to obedience and the covenant relationship. Then we'll go into idolatry and the dangers of false worship. We'll talk about honoring God's name and giving Him our best. Lord willing, we'll talk about the Sabbath and festivals and offerings and how that all is about devotion to God. And then we'll finish up talking about the sacrificial system and atonement, which is about God helping them deal with sin, repentance, and redemption, and providing them a way to do that. But as you're reading, I encourage you throughout the week to see faith and trust in these stories. There's plenty of examples for us as God's people that we can learn from the Israelites and God's relationship He had with them. We also see fear and disobedience and compromise throughout, and lessons of what not to do. And all of those things should help us grow in our faith and strengthen our relationship with the Almighty God, who is unchanging, and His promises remain true. And so I never get to my final summary slide, so I'm going to put it up front. And that way, if we don't make it through all, you'll at least I'll have addressed the major takeaways from this week's reading, and there are plenty. And it's easy to get caught up into, well, I'm reading a lot about how to kill animals, And there was a period of time when I was going through the readings that it felt like I started to get hungry. You can't eat when you're getting when it's a barbecue, but there was a lot of very specific instructions on the sacrifices and things like that. But taking it all together, it's hard to not walk away with Deuteronomy 6:5 and the scripture that we find in Mark 12:31, which has to do with loving your God with all your heart, soul, and strength. And if you do that and keep that command, then you will obey God. There's no other course of action that you can take. If you love Him, then you will obey Him. And obedience to God is a way for us to demonstrate our love and trust of Him. And so that is how true faith is demonstrated, through that wholehearted obedience, John 14, 15. The dangers of idolatry is constant and never ceasing. And one of the takeaways you get from our readings this week is that worship belongs to God alone. He is a jealous God. He demands and loves us. He knows what's best for us. And doesn't want us to be separated from Him. And so our worship solely belongs to Him. We get introduced to the power of God's name and the honor and reverence that is due to Him. And so we'll talk about taking the Lord's name in vain and what that means, especially beyond just the words that you say. Because I think there's the way that you live and the way they present yourself and the priorities that you set that if you are a child of God, then you should be living as a child of God. And to say that you honor God, but to do something that dishonors Him, is sin and in a way taking His name in vain, because you profess to be a child of God, yet you don't live like you are, then that is what you're doing. And devotion to God requires setting apart time for Him. The Old Covenant, there was a lot of rules regarding the Sabbath and Sabbaths. But the principle remains true, and to us today, is that God demands our time, and where we put our time and energy and resources is what we prioritize. And to worship God requires us to give to Him and give of our time. And true worship involves more than just rituals. It's about a life of holiness. All of the rituals that God imposed on them was about making them and moving them towards holiness. And so that's what God desires of us. He desires a holy people that are love and are devoted to Him. Giving. There was rules regarding tithing and instruction regarding tithing under the Old Covenant. It was about, though, giving God our first and best. And it was about matter, really, truly, it was about a matter of the heart and what you prioritize and what you... The fact that you should recognize that everything is from God and we are blessed by God. And it's not ours. It is His to do His work and to accomplish His will. And finally, all of it, everything that we read about this past week points to Jesus. And everything that we're reading and studying about with regard to the Israelites and in the Old Testament is a foreshadowing of the gospel. And the blessings that we will have, and we have through Christ. And so, the call then to us is to live as set-apart people that are fully surrendered to God in worship, obedience, and faith. And that's the lesson from this week. So you've got it, no matter what we cover the rest of the time together, that's what you should take away in your readings, or amongst probably many other things that we're going to get into. during our study. But the first major section we want to address now is God's call to obedience and the covenant relationship. So why does Moses repeatedly emphasize obedience to God's commands? Why was that so important? Yeah, and they would for a time, but then they would fall short. And but God constantly emphasized and demanded obedience to His commands. So the Ten Commandments, the first of the commands, were given as a foundation of Israel's relationship with God. And they weren't just rules, but it was a covenant between God and His people. And Moses emphasized obedience as a way to live in the blessings of God's covenant, Deuteronomy 5:23. Or rather, 5:32 and 33. So how does obedience to God's commands today reflect our relationship with Him? I already kind of alluded to this. And so let's turn to John 14:15, which is very, very familiar. John 14:15. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. And on in verse 18, it says, I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So that's the lesson for us then, is obedience to God's commands reflects our relationship with Him. If we love Him, we will obey Him. It was true from the beginning, and it remains true today, and it will forever be true. So, in the questions that we sent out in advance, I had a question that had to do with the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4-9. How does the Shema shape our understanding of a loving God? But first, I probably should talk about what the Shema, what I meant by that, where it's coming from. But the Shema comes from a Hebrew word, which means hear or listen. It's the first word in Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And the prayer there begins, Shema Yisrael Adonai Elohunu Adonai Eshat, which means hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. So in Hebrew, the word Shema means more than just hearing words. It implies active listening, obedience, and response. So I think of it like the when you tell your kids to listen and you tell them something. You want them more than just to just hear you. You want them to understand it and do it and really take it to heart. That's what Shema is to me and how I kind of reconcile it. Because you hear all kinds of things. I mean, you hear noises and talking and but to hear, to listen, to obey and to respond to what you're hearing is Shema. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our Shema. He wants us to hear Him. And when He says, "Hear, O Israel," it's not just make sure your ears are working. It's really listen. It's really take it to heart and obey and respond to what I'm saying. So in Deuteronomy 6:4, when it begins, Shema, O Israel, it's not just a call to hear. It's a call to obey and to live out God's commands. And so it's very foundational for Israel's faith, and important, and we see it again, and we know it's foundational and important to God because we see it again when Jesus uses it and says it in Mark 12, 29 and 30. So let's read that. Let's read Mark 12, 29 and 30. Somebody want to read that?
The most important is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength."
Yeah. So Jesus affirmed this command as the greatest commandment. So that's the call for us, is to actively love God with all our heart, soul, and strength in our daily lives. Yeah.
There's one thing I want to add to that. Everything that you said at all. But the part that I got is it says, "So you shall keep the statutes and these commandments which I'm giving you today, that it may go well with you and with your children after you, that you may live long in the land which the Lord God is giving for you all time." Fear the Lord, and if you don't, we know what ramifications there are for that.
Yeah.
It's like, "Hello, I'm warning you." Okay, just like a father would, "Don't do that."
Yep.
And if you don't, because I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children.
Yeah. And we're going to get into that a little more regarding faithfulness brings blessing, but unfaithfulness brings what? And I think that was the point that you're getting at. There is punishment, there is ramifications, there is repercussions to not being faithful to God, and we see it throughout the struggles that the Israelites had, there is conditional, his blessings were conditional on obedience, and they were warned time and time again about forgetting God's provision, mostly with turning to idols, and Deuteronomy 8, 10 through 20, and then 9, 7 through 12. So forgetting what God has done, and they're constantly reminded to remember, and that's a common thread throughout the readings this week, is intentionally remembering His faithfulness, because God understands His creation and the failings and the trappings of the world, and how easy it is to forget what God had done for them. and time and time again, in throughout their time in the wilderness, they would forget and they would start to grumble, and they would lose faith, and they would have to be re-reminded. And so we see throughout the readings this week, God helped them with festivals and things that where He established so that they would remember, and it gave them a way to have a celebration that was centered around remembering the blessings of God. And so what are the practical ways that we can write God's Word on our hearts today? How do we do that? Yeah. Daily, staying in the Word. That's really the only way to grow closer to God is to be in His Word, because that is Him communicating with us. Without communication, there is not a relationship. And so that's how we maintain it. And it's through prayer where we can talk to God through prayer, actively working to apply the Scripture to our lives. Those are all other ways we do that. Yep. Yeah, it's possible. There are plenty of scholars and people that know the Word. They can recite it, but that don't live it and apply it to their lives and really internalize it and allow it to change them. And I think that's what all the Scriptures and what Wade was getting at, was we have to let God's Word change us and become a part of us. More than just academically learning it, because anybody can do that claim. Yeah, no, that's a good point. When you don't do that, you are at risk of falling into the temptation and the trappings of idolatry and the dangers of false worship, which is the next section we want to discuss. So God demands exclusive worship and obedience. So why was idolatry such a serious sin for Israel? Yeah, he's a jealous guy. And he had a covenant with them. A covenant isn't something that is taken lightly. It is, as we studied and Jason's preached about it, it's a serious thing. And it's the foundation of the relationship. And so the consequences of false worship is that covenant has been broken and severed. And God treats and speaks of idolatry as spiritual adultery. And the bottom line is it does lead to destruction and separation from God. And so that's why it is so serious. So anything that takes priority over God in our hearts, whether material possessions, status, relationships, our personal desires, all of those things can become an idol. Any of those things. And I've been thinking a lot about it because we, on our Thursday night studies, Lee at Monroe had asked a question about that. What are idols today? What are things that could become an idol for us? Because we don't. Clayton's holding up his phone in the back, but we don't have temples. Well, there are temples, but there's not this temptation that draws us into a temple with a false engraven image and a false god in it. We don't. It's not as apparent as that, right? Like false god here, and you walk in. Like there's not a building like that. But there are idols, and there are things that are just as insidious and just as dangerous for us today. And we need to be able to recognize them. I think the scary part is that they're so well hidden. And they're so disguised, and it's so accepted in culture, and easy to make things a priority other than God. Any thoughts on that? Yeah, Millie. Yeah, no, there's plenty of opportunity to put yourself above God. Yeah, John.
Yeah, I was just going to say,
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a good point. The, yeah, Billy. Yeah, no.
And what is it that we're showing our children are the most important things in this world? And we raise children, we know that if there are things in the world that are more important than attending Bible classes and services and things like that, then isn't that the same thing? We're sacrificing them to this world.
Right. No, that's true.
And it's hard not to do that.
Yeah, Danny.
Point, I go back to the words of Jesus in Matthew 6:21, when he says, where your treasure is, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be. So I think it would be wise to ask ourselves, when we have time, when we make time, where does our heart go? Where do our thoughts go? Is it towards spiritual things and body things? Or is it so busy with a job and family, all the things going on, I start to sit down and binge watch this 6 hours of series because I have free time, this is what I should do. So you'd be wise to ask, what do we think about that gives us joy?
Yep. Yep. Oh, good point. There's other warnings and cautions that are provided through the readings this week. A warning against occult practices, and I think a lot of that has to do with witchcraft, divination, sorceries, casting of spells, consulting the dead, things like that. But all of it is seeking power outside of God's authority. So anything that involves that. If you're seeking the answer that God provides and provided elsewhere, then that's essentially what you're doing. Whether it's called witchcraft or divination or sorcery, there are people and things that claim to have to give power and answers. That's not of God. And it's not hard to go and find that and seek that out. And they usually charge you money, and they want you to pay them for it. So that's the warning for us, and I think that's the, it still exists today, and it's still something that if you seek it out, you can find it, and it's very dangerous. Yep. No, that's okay. No, that's okay. That's why I did the upfront thing. Yeah, yeah.
But all of this is wisdom from everybody,
oh, yeah.
And it's
yeah.
Great to learn from everybody in this room. It's just so awesome. I think we need to remember, it says, you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 4 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And then it goes on that man does not live by bread alone, man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. And going back to studying the Word, we have to be very careful. Satan is very good. He knows us. He knows us. He knows how to get us away from the Word, away from God. Okay? And sometimes, the Lord, will test us. Okay? See? We just have to be strong and courageous and just understand the world that we live in. Right? I mean,
yeah. And we see that kind of to your point that false worship leads to judgment. And we see it in Deuteronomy 13 and the severe consequences for cities that turned away from God and towards false gods. So God demands our complete loyalty. I mean, He does. We can't be divided. We can't dabble with other gods and expect to maintain the relationship with the one true God. Yeah, that's your name. No, that is so true. We could easily fall into the trap, especially given where we live and work, to Trinae's point. Honoring God's name and giving Him our best. So there's a lot of honor, kind of to Trinae's point, and respect demanded from the world for a lot of things. And it's easy to fall into the trap of chasing after that. But God is the only one that deserves our worship and our reverence. And he demands reverence for His name. The third commandment in Deuteronomy 5:11, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And so what is taking the Lord's name in vain? What is that? Yeah. So the God of the universe is bigger than a name. There is not to attempt to box God and describe Him and put Him in a place. It is very dangerous to try to do that. But because the power and His glory is beyond comprehension. And so any flippant attempt or arrogant attempt to speak of God to try to attempt to put yourself essentially above Him, to think that you can, in your limited power, know everything there is to know about God, and to be able to say with confidence, this is God, and this is how you define Him, and we can draw a box around it, because you can't. He is too powerful to do that. You can know God as He's been revealed, and how He's revealed Himself to us through His Word. But any attempts to try to define Him outside of that is blasphemy and is extremely dangerous. And kind of getting back to your point of they you know, the Israelites took it to an extreme and wouldn't even utter his name because they revered him so much. And, you know, I think the spirit of that should be appreciated and understood because God hasn't changed. And his relationship with his people and what he desires from his people hasn't changed. He hasn't given away his power and lowered himself. He's still the God that he has always been. And so understanding and revering him and appreciating our relationship with him and our place in relationship to him is of extreme importance. As we've read and as we've studied, any thoughts or comments on that? No, that's a good point. We're quickly coming to the end. I created this chart, put it together. It could be better. How I figured it could be better. I ran out of room. I had a tough time keeping track of all the festivals and what their purpose was and how it points to Jesus. And so that's what this is. And I'll send it out if you guys are interested in having it. How I'd improve upon it was add in when the festivals take place on the calendar, just to have a frame of reference. I think that would have made it more useful. But there was a good amount of the reading this week had to deal with Sabbaths and the festivals and offerings and devotion to God. The Sabbath was instituted by God as a day of rest and of worship. And so what's the principle for us with regard to the Sabbath and God's desires of his people? Yeah, and I think it kind of gets back to the points that Danny, and I appreciate that, get the points that Danny was making. When you set aside time for God, whether it's for worship, for rest, reflecting on his word, you're honoring him by doing that. And that's what God wants from his people. He wants his people to honor him and give him glory and honor and worship. So So in order to do that, you have to set aside time. You have to give of yourself to honor God. There's no way around it. There's no compromise. You can't honor God without giving Him, giving yourself to Him. And you do that through worship, through study, through reflection, through prayer, through serving one another. So all of that, the principle of the Sabbath, of giving of yourself to God and honoring God, putting Him first, applies to us now under the new covenant as His people. We give of ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. And they dedicated their firstborn. We give the best to God. I think that's the principle there that applies to us. And the question we should be asking ourselves, are we giving the first fruits of ourselves to God? Or are we giving Him what's left over? Or what we can give Him? Because we're called to be set apart and honor Him with our best. That is the call for us. And then we get into the sacrificial system of atonement, sin, and repentance. And we talk a lot about this. Jason preaches on it. And during our time set aside for the Lord's Supper, we get into this a lot. But and how it points to the perfect sacrifice of Jesus and the sacrificial system that the Israelites were under. The burnt offerings was really about atonement and complete surrender to God. The sin offering had to deal with unintentional sin and restoring fellowship with God. And the Day of Atonement, of course, is a foreshadowing of Christ, our ultimate high priest. So all of those sacrifices that we read about and all of the specific types of offerings were about dealing with their sin, making them holy and acceptable to be able to be in a relationship with God. And that's what we have now through Jesus. Thanks for your attention. We're out of time.